This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
Hi, Warren. I don't mean to sound like I'm chatting you up, but are you a disciplined kind of guy?
Oh, disciplined. Oh, in some ways, yes. Why are you asking?
Well, because today's show, nothing personal, today's show has a lot to do with disciplining our young, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Am I disciplined? I am disciplined in some things. I find when I get stressed, Susie, that discipline goes out the window and there is none. But I would say, yeah, very disciplined. If I put my mind to something, I'll do it. No question. I've got that confidence. What about you?
Where'd that come from?
I think it came from, to be honest with you, I think it came from being a young kid and kind of being on my own and having to just do things myself and having to get them done. That resilience that was building as a young kid, it came from that. I think I realized that I had to stick up for myself and I had to protect myself. No one else was going to do it for me. And it taught me that if I want to do something, I can do it and I'll put my head to it and I'll do it. I'll commit to it and I won't give up. Very disciplined.
Oh, so you learned it all very early.
I think so, yeah. I think discipline came. I had no choice. I think I was forced to be disciplined I don't like the word survival, but it is, isn't it, as a kid? Like, it's your survival technique. And I can be so, you can give me anything to do. If you want something done, you get me to do it, Susie. There's a little hint for you. Seriously. I'll get it done for you.
And what happens when you're stressed?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I just, I think it probably, the discipline stays, but the food discipline goes out the window.
Ah, you're talking about eating.
Yeah, I think that's probably what happens. Yeah. Tell me about you.
Oh, I thought you meant like procrastinating or something. No. I learned discipline very late in life.
Oh, late?
Very late. My father always intended to teach me discipline. I think he tried as hard as he could, but I don't think I really learned it until, well into my 30s. After many years of failure and hardship, I just had to learn everything the hard way. And then eventually, I think I got there. Yeah. But I feel like my biggest challenge, though, is to kind of balance it with wanting to be a person who's good with my emotions and being a free-spirited person. I think that is kind of my priority. I feel like I kind of have to work more at being the free-spirited person that I want to be. I feel like maybe because of my cultural heritage as well, I can be a little bit too severe and stern. And I feel like that relates to kind of the part of me that can be very strict and disciplined. You know, I think that they're quite similar things.
Susie Rong, the wise old owl.
Do you think?
I love it. I love it. So when you say you need to be more relaxed and more free-spirited as such, don't you think, though, is that mutually exclusive of being disciplined? Because don't you think that you can be disciplined to be that? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, you can put in a structure that ensures that you are more free.
Yeah, I think, I know what you mean. You need to have a certain amount of stability in your life, ultimately, you know, to have peace and joy and happiness and, you know, the general free-spiritedness of things. There has to be a certain amount of security and stability that will not come without discipline, I think. And that's the thing that I learned very late in life.
I'm quite surprised that you learnt it late in life, given that you grew up in Singapore. I would have imagined that that was part of life growing up. So were you rebellious?
I think I was probably rebellious, but also, I don't know. I think I do have that quality of being like a really strict machine that's very Singaporean.
Right.
I think that sense of like, I don't even know how to put it. Like, it's like a conservative mindset, which is really weird for a queer person. Mm. But I think I did acquire that from growing up there. But that doesn't mean that I was disciplined though. Like, I was a very, very huge procrastinator to the extent that I think I did the longest Bachelor of Arts degree ever known to humankind. It took me like almost 5 years to finish. You know, what people do in 3 years.
That's not bad. That's only 2 years extra.
Only 2 years. I had no discipline. I was very, very lazy. I was very, very distracted all the time until my final year. Something happened and things started to improve then. But I think I had to learn things the hard way. It was bad. I hope people don't have to. I wish that not everyone does that, but I had to learn a lot of big lessons the hard way. And then now obviously it's something that's really stuck with me. The terrible things that happened to me and the lessons that came with those.
Yeah, I feel like they do. And you don't want those things to happen again, do you? And that sort of invokes a certain amount of discipline as well. You know what I love about our conversations, Susie, is the little Susie Wrong sting plays at the beginning. I have no idea what you're going to ask me and what we're going to talk about. This is not scripted at all. I have no idea. And the stuff that you come up with is absolutely amazing. Are you disciplined when you come up with these topics, or do you just throw them? Are you like, is it prepared? Do you prepare that what you're going to ask me, or do you just think of it?
I prepare them. Today's was an easy one because it was the central theme of the show, but sometimes it takes a bit. And I try not to let you know what I'm going to be talking about, just to make it sound a bit more alive. And I thought today would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I love discipline. And I think also, I suppose my career, I had to be disciplined as well. Like, you know, when you're designing things and that, you've got to follow standards, etc. And you have to be disciplined. There's no question. So, and the other thing that I thought of too, Susie, is sometimes I think it can go too far and we become too disciplined and everything becomes a set of instructions and you must stick to it. And there's no room for failing. Failing's the wrong word, but there's no room for movement there. You can't trip up. You can't make mistakes. You can go to that extent as well. I mean, I've been there, and that's pretty horrible. It's rigid, and you're constantly beating yourself up for doing things that you're just human.
It's all about being grown up, I think. Finding that sweet spot of having things under control so that you have a space in your life to enjoy peace and joy, but also not let the structure overtake everything.
Yeah, that
allow things to be a bit more organic. Yeah.
Exactly. I love it. Susie, we are talking today about something called Wayward, which you can catch on Netflix. Hit us with your disciplined review.
Alex has moved to the quiet town of Tall Pines in Vermont, north of the USA. He's a trans policeman who finds his new colleagues surprisingly welcoming, but things are not quite as peaceful as the idyllic surrounds might suggest. The new Netflix series Wayward stars Toni Collette as the head of a sinister facility dubbed the Tall Pines Academy, where difficult teenagers are sent to be reformed, though what actually happens behind its closed doors hints at something far darker than rehabilitation. The story is inspired by the Troubled Teen Industry, a network of American residential treatment centers, boot camps, and reform schools that claim to rehabilitate problem teenagers, but have long been accused of using abusive, coercive, and traumatizing practices. Toni Collette plays Evelyn, who appears to have the best of intentions for her students, but beneath her nurturing exterior lies a steely conviction. that borders on fanaticism. Alex, the policeman, discovers that there have been 18 teenagers who had disappeared from the academy and sets out to uncover what is really happening in the small town. I found the premise initially to be an intriguing one and really wanted to see not only what kinds of nefarious activities Toni Collette's character Evelyn is going to dish out, but also how a trans guy can possibly adjust to living in the countryside. On both counts, Wayward proves to be slightly disappointing. Evelyn is not as terrifying as I had hoped, and there is virtually no effort put into representing the challenges of living trans in rural America. Nonetheless, there is plenty of drama to be experienced over the 8 episodes of Wayward. There is a lot of action and quite a few surprises that take the story to unexpected places. Wayward may not be as powerful as its themes might suggest, but it is often unpredictable, which is a big plus. Not an absolute must-see, but certainly not a waste of time either. Why would you say that this kind of dealing with difficult teenagers will never take hold in Australia?
Well, I certainly hope it never takes hold anywhere else in the world. Absolutely terrible. Susie, I agree with you. I found that there was some good themes in it, but they just didn't quite hit the mark, weren't really strong enough for me. But something I wanted to ask you is the characters in Wayward, they often face like a trade-off between belonging, you know, that safety and that acceptance, and freedom. So there's like a trade-off between belonging and freedom. And it made me think about it. What would you do? Would you take belonging to someone? Because we all want to belong, don't we? Or belonging to a group over freedom, given that you were just talking about being, you know, a bit of a free spirit. What's more important to you, Susie?
You know, I think belonging can be thought of as different things. I've always felt an outsider. And it has become so much a part of my identity or just my experience of life that it's very hard for me to not feel like an outsider. When I feel too attached to kind of some kind of group, I would feel a little bit uncomfortable and I'll start to act out and and start behaving like the dark sheep again. Mm. On the other hand, I have really, really close friends that, you know, I work very hard to sustain those relationships. And, you know, I'm very grateful that I have friends that have been, you know, we've been close for 30, 40 years and I take pride in that. But that's a very kind of small group of people. I don't think I'm a person that gets very, seduced by being part of any sort of group or community, really, just because I'm so used to being on the outside. But I certainly do understand the value, especially in living in Sydney, Australia, being part of like minority groups, whether being part of the trans community or the Asian Australian community. I do value that. But I am slightly outside of those communities. I don't know. It's just my nature.
I'm the same. I've felt like I've never belonged to a group. I don't know why. I used to always think, is something wrong with me? I find it hard to fit in. I've always found it hard. I wonder if that's just a general experience of queer people. But I've always struggled. It doesn't matter what it is. Even queer groups, I've always struggled to feel like I belong in there. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a deep-seated insecurity in me, whether I feel worthy of belonging to something. I don't know. But I've struggled always to belong to groups.
I've certainly seen queer people who work very hard to not stand out. Mm. You know, I think a lot of queer people who are that way, they don't want to be kind of identified as being different in any sort of way. You know, so in that way, on the surface, they look very similar to, most straight people. So I don't think that all queer people are happy with being on the outside. Some prefer to kind of disappear and not kind of stand down. I think that that's true as well.
Do you think it's because a lot of us, when we do stand out, there are repercussions for that, for being ourselves. And it's easier, therefore, to hide.
Yeah, I think it's a feeling of safety, you know. Some people just feel much more secure, and they find their safety in that sort of hiding, you know. To the extent of a lot of people hiding in the closet, but I don't think we're really talking about that. We're just talking about queer people who kind of are not especially loud and are very happy to fade into the background a little bit.
Laying low, afraid of what could come if you do are identified. I understand that. I get it. Susie, we're talking about Wayward on Netflix. What are we watching next week?
Love and Videotapes follows a teenage boy in the Philippines whose encounter with queer desire and self-discovery unfolds through the intimate power of recorded images. Catch Love and Videotapes for free on SBS On Demand, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.